Welcome back. We are at Pappas in Cockeysville. I got guests lined up like planes at LaGuardia. Folks have been waiting. Robbie Jr. patiently waiting with his little Super Bowl 35 helmet thing over there. And we got collages and sports and sports and sports. I'm not a sports guy anymore. They kind of, you know, I'm sitting here watching real sports guys like Stephen A. and Shannon Sharp and these people. Do you consider Lamar's season a success? That's what the talking heads are talking about on ESPN News. We're talking about a couple Super Bowls, Crab Cake Row. It's all thanks to our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Chris Corman from the Banner is going to get a free lottery ticket. Mike Rosenfeld's riding shotgun from Web Connection. Big appreciation to our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION, as well as Jiffy Lube MultiCare. Folks have been coming out all week long, bringing the stuff from the Maryland Food Bank. They're bringing canned goods, dry goods. We've been giving them the local pantries. We're here till 5 today, maybe 5:01, but not 5:02. I am in hour 37 of 40 hours of marathon radio, inspired by Jerry Lewis, and at the pleasure of Chad Steele. We are here and pimping all sorts of really good stuff. One, this guy's not expecting me to kiss his ass on the air, Mike, but I'm about to tell Chris Corman of the Banner, you guys are kicking ass, man. I mean, like, stuff's happening. You're pissing people off enough, you know what I mean? Like, in the way you should be. I don't know what the Zay Flowers thing was, but I was going to be a real jerk online and say, well, if he did punch her in a glass elevator, you know the team would cover it up and they'd send Chad out in front of it. And I mean, we know they would do that. But the stories that have been coming out on the baseball side and the Orioles side, you guys have been on the front end of that. And dare I say, and I mean this with a lot of love, you as a Sun alum and me as a Sun alum, in a way that would make Jack Gibbons proud. So, good work, brother.
Yeah, I hope so. Thank you. Appreciate it. I mean, our crew works incredibly hard. It's a really good staff, a lot of Sun alums, you know, a lot of that DNA.
A lot of people were taught the right way.
Yeah. And
like you were taught the right way, even though he's from Philly, this guy here. Don't hold it against him.
Yeah. Well, Jack Gibbons worked in Philly for a while, so...
He's from Towson.
Yeah, he's from Towson.
Mr. Maryland guy and all that. Mike Rosenfeld is here. He's our chief digital officer, doing things on the web. And, dude, you got anything you want to say about the Banner? You've seen them sprout this from nothing, right? Like, literally, 2 years.
It's good to have resources and people who are communicating and getting stories out. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to get Mike on you a little bit better. Sure. Yeah, no worries. That's all right. You do. I was going to say, you do newspaper. You know, what do you do?
What is it?
What are you?
Digital.
I don't know.
Digital first. We got some podcasts. We got video.
I see Chad let your guys set up in the stadium after the game.
That's
two guys there. Not you have.
They don't always give us the best room. Sometimes they're like stuffed in a corner.
I don't have
with
a pass, dude. No, I mean, well, as a journalist, like, come on, man. You know, like, seriously. You know, you hire me a year ago as your columnist, and they deny me a credential. Like, what would that be? That's.
Yeah. We would have had a war.
I can't say out loud what that is. Bouja is, I think, they call that an animal house. Bouja is what I would say, you know. But you guys are killing it, and what is your temperature on all of this as an organization? I mean, you see your clicks. I don't see your clicks.
Yeah.
My traffic, through the roof, this, that, Joe Flacco, Brian.
Right.
You know, you get a sit-down with Joe Flacco. A lot of people see it. You know, great, it's cool. But... you're building something that literally was nothing 2 years ago.
Right.
I'm building something that's 30 years in the making where I bring people with me. You're trying to start something from scratch and say, we're new, we're not a newspaper, trust us, we're going to break stories, they're all going to be legitimate, and we're going to have legitimate Justin Fenton. We're going to take the Pulitzer people over there and bring them over here and continue to do the work.
Yeah.
And I Ted would be so proud of you guys, dude. I love Ted.
That's good to hear.
Ted would be proud of you, man.
His picture hangs in our newsroom. You know, he's a big influence on what we're doing. You know, it's grown a ton. We started last year by covering spring training. We sent Andy Koska. We had one Orioles reporter sent him.
Never met him, by the way.
Yeah, he's great. He's fantastic.
Does great work. I've seen it.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, those stories were getting 200, 300 page views. You know, it just people were trying to figure out who we were. And he broke the news that Grayson Rodriguez was not going to make the team out of camp. That probably got 1,500 page views. Now our average story is up to that, you know, maybe even more than that. And then last week, you know, it helps that the Ravens lose unexpectedly, right? And we have all that coverage. The Orioles get sold. The Orioles trade for an ace.
I've had the biggest month of traffic that I've had in a long time. Teams playing the AFC Championship game at home.
Right.
Like, we didn't need the Orioles to be sold, but the Orioles being sold, it's kind of like, you know, like I'm trying to. I haven't got my arms around it. I don't think we haven't talked about it.
We haven't.
He was the one that told me. He texted me like I was getting ready for yoga. Like it was 6 o'clock at night. I was packing my bag, hydrating. You know, I don't do ohms or whatever before I do yoga. But I was getting ready for yoga, and he pings me. He's like, "Orioles just got sold. You better run." And within 4 minutes, I had it confirmed from my deep throat. I have deep throats. You know, I've been doing this a while. I said, "Is this real? 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 Real?" And I'm like, "Okay." Reporting, but I'm finding out it's real, but I'm more into it. I went into, my wife's like, "You're not going to yoga now." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, I am. Watch me turn my phone off." So 7:15, I walked into class. I walked at 8:30. I had 41 messages in an hour and 15 minutes. And I came home that night, and I was so like, "Mr. Big, talk to me, talk to me." I was on the phone 11 o'clock at night. I'm not writing that. I'm just sort of, and Luke and I were doing 7 a.m. radio. I text Luke. I'm like, "I guess we're doing 5:30 tomorrow." So we went at it early in the morning, and I told him everything I knew at that time. But I said, "This is evolving, man. Like, this isn't going to happen in a minute." And I've been told by everybody there's still a lot of snags in any $1.8 billion deal, right?
Sure.
But there's that hope. And for fans and the Corbin Burns thing, obviously another thing I learned from you guys, I would just say I went to bed on the second night thinking for the first time in a long time that I could go down there and have people be nice to me. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. I don't remember the last time I ever walked in there where I wasn't treated like my water fountain was over there, including in Arlington, Texas, 12 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Where they had me at the kids' table. It's like I've been treated like garbage for so long. I wouldn't know what it's like to walk in there and just not have people look at me like they want to kill me.
Right.
You know, but that's part of being a journalist, right? I mean,
you're
proud of me for that.
Yeah, you got to rub people the wrong way, right? Like you're not doing the job unless people are angry at you. If you're saying what they want you to say, then that's not
journalism.
Yeah, that's not the gig. But this group, I mean, look, the Orioles are a mess from top to bottom, right? Like, the organization is, there are so many things wrong with it. And that's
But when you win 101 games, it deodorizes some of that. Or at least it hides it.
And that's the part. John let that part go, right? John let Mike Elias do his thing. And Mike Elias built a power. They won 101 games, and they have the best farm system in baseball.
You know what the best part of that is?
Even after the trade, right?
But from John's perspective, it didn't cost them money.
Right. Well, that's...
Nobody came down the hallway and asked for anything, right?
That's the test now. Is like, are they going to... So they traded for Corbin Burns. That's great. They gave up some prospects, and it's $16 million, which is nothing, right? It's $6 million more than they paid Kyle Gibson last year. It's like, that's nothing in Major League Baseball terms. The question now is, are they going to sign anybody? Are they going to keep Adley Rutschman? Are they going to... I mean, Gunnar Henderson's hard, right? He's a Scott Boras client. He's a future, probably MVP. He's going to cost a lot of money. But you... Like, Adley Rutschman, the fact... Like, that deal should get done the day that David Rubenstein can, right? The day that he's in possession and can make those decisions. He's got to show these fans... I mean, that's what fans are waiting for, right? Is that they have done this one... They've sort of done one thing right? They've built the squad... But it has to go beyond that. You have to buy some pitching. You have to be able to buy if somebody goes down, or you know, if you need one position, you gotta spend money. Like they're never gonna win being 29th in payroll. They're never gonna win being 20th in payroll. You got to get to like 15, 10. You know, you have to be in there.
Somebody would stand up right now and say, "We almost won this year." You know, they could have won. And,
and then they got to Texas. I mean, everyone remembers what happened, right? Like, you know, in the playoffs, the margins are so small that you have to have the pitching and you have to have the hitting. And they, you know, it did not come through last year. This team will be much better, right? Like, and Grayson Rodriguez will advance. Adley and Gunner won't be, you know.
The crap that John would pull to not bring Holiday up until June or something, to not get his clock going, and all of that poverty franchise nonsense that they played and talked themselves into before my very eyes.
And the distraction of that, right? Like, John goes to the New York Times and says, we're going to have to raise prices. And the prices are already pretty high. Like, Camden Yard food prices are already skyrocketing, right? Like, he is already charging people more than similar markets, and he's not spending it on players. And those distractions, you know, like, think about Steve Bisciotti, right? Like, nobody sees or hears from Steve Bisciotti. He just tries to put together an organization that wins. I mean, our expectation is David Rubenstein will take the same tact, you know, that he...
Will David Rubenstein have an annual... You expect him on a day sports a year? What come on now. You're the sports editor of the Voice of the City. What is your expectation for... Because you just said Bisciotti hides and that's good. It's not good. Well, he just took $600 million. He's banning journalists. I'm here calling around to the league telling a guy who's done the Super Bowl 29 times that he can't go while I'm watching charities sit with tables on Radio Row. Like, it's insane to me, right? Okay, but what... I'm a jerk. Bisciotti doesn't like me. Whatever it is. He should be in front of you, not me. And he should be in front of you in front of other people than Jameson Hensley and Jeff Zrebeck, who work for ESPN, who's about to be usurped, and The Athletic, which is the New York Times. Right. You're a Baltimore entity. I'm a Baltimore. I'm not even pissed that you got two guys in the press box after games with cameras doing stuff when they made me... I hid to do my show. You know where I did, Chad? You know where I did my show every week? In your coach's box on the road, because it was empty. The coaches they have all the cords in there. You see them drinking the coffee. You know, I would go in that box in Pittsburgh, Cleveland. Since I've been in that box in every league, doing what you guys did with my back to the wall and a camera, because that's. And then I got accused of not working. So I want to ask the owner about that.
Right.
And I can't. I want to ask the owner about the $600 million in the perimeter. Yeah. But I can't. I want to ask the owner, were you aware of Zay Flowers? But I can't. You know, like, that's not the accountability that was promised when he bought the team. He's lowered his own bar. We've lowered our own expectation here over all of it. And that's not good for the fans.
Yeah.
Either way.
Right.
And if you piss them off, they're going to throw you out of there because hey, I can hear chat. I let you broadcast me. Yeah, really? So what do I owe you, dude? What do I owe you?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, the thing, Steve has hired Sashi, right? And so
Have you talked to him?
Yes.
Okay.
We can get Sashi fairly regularly. Press conferences he did when they announced the changes to the stadium, when they announced the renovations, he's there and he's talking about those things. And that has always been what people talked about John needing to do, right? Like, John Angelos is not, by his own admission, he's not a businessman. He's not a developer. You know, he was trained as a lawyer, didn't go into law, just sort of...
You know what Sid Thrift told me one time? I asked Sid about him. Sid's been dead a long time. Sid said, "Nasty, that boy's an introvert. He's introverted."
That's interesting.
That's a pretty good Sid too. But
yeah,
but he called him an introvert 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, if anybody understands John Angelos, I would be shocked. I don't think there's anyone. I mean,
I haven't met that person.
Yeah.
I haven't met anybody that calls him a friend. I haven't met anybody that he went to Gilman. I've never had anybody.
He was
even
a very good
me.
Wrestler at Gilman.
Was he?
Yes. Like an all-state wrestler.
Who knew?
Yeah, he was like a very good...
just in time for him to leave. I'm finding out all the news, you know? So,
I'm not sure that he...
I've never spoken... I spoke to John Angelos one time in my life. I had to hijack the Visit Baltimore tourism. The guy from Visit Baltimore still hasn't spoken to me. Christine Brennan, this is fun for you. Christine Brennan...
My former colleague.
...was moderating... Dick Cass and John Angelos on a dace at a Visit Baltimore event. It's a very famous event. Like, really, for what I did became famous, not because I did it, because I'm not even associated, but I'm the one who did it. I hijacked the event. I text Christine in the morning, and I'm like, look, I'm going to be asking him about the future of the franchise. He hasn't made himself available in forever. Daddy's taking a nap. He's the guy. He wants to come out at this civic thing and curry favor. He needs some questions. So you're going to, you as a journalist, you're there to sanitize this. You're the Johnny Bravo that makes this look legitimate. So if you want it to be legitimate, there's a lot of whispers here. He doesn't have a lease. Dick's about to, this is 5 years, four years ago, right? And I am the one that asked him the question, what's the future of the team? And that's when he gave the Baltimore Orioles will be here as long as the Rockets right glare, or whatever the hell Francis Scott Key thing he quoted, right? As long as the, it sounded like his father, which is like, I'm like, oh, that's not a good answer. But he, and I got booed, and I got the, at this thing. And the funniest thing happens. Like, so I get that. And I get the bristle, and Dick gives me the smirk, right? I'll throw your ass out of here one day, that kind of smirk. And Christine knew it was coming because she's a journalist, and I've known Christine since I met her at a Caps game in 1986 when she was working for George Solomon, right? Then the first fan that gets a question, I'm not being facetious, it's exactly what happened. A woman on the other side, 50-year-old African-American woman, stands up, and she says, John, I got one question. What's wrong with my Orioles? That's what she said. What's wrong with my Orioles? And that was a fine question. Everybody laughed, and they're like, oh, he's like, well, you know, we've got this young Adley Rutschman, and we have the, we're going to be good in a couple of years. And I thought, Bougie, he was right. He didn't lie about that, you know, so that, and we, I,
he did get one thing right. He, I mean, the baseball team is very good.
His strategy would have been, we're going to be good one day, and then we're going to be bad because we're not going to pay them to keep them, and it's a vicious cycle.
We'll trade them for more picks and keep.
What have you learned about Rubenstein? I mean, I think that's the big journalism part, that because I don't know him. I know a lot of people that know him. He's a very public dude. Like, yeah. I mean, just a really out there public dude.
Yeah. I mean, he buys things. Like the Magna Carta to allow for the public to see. I mean, he is like
a patriot,
right? He really cares about that. And I think baseball for him is sort of that vein, right? That baseball is America's pastime. And he is now, you know, but this, people said the same thing about Peter when he bought the team, right? Peter was a hero. You know, this as
five
well as
minutes.
Anybody. He was a hero to buy the team and be a Baltimore guy and put up the money. So I would suggest some caution, you know, for people that that you never know how an owner is going to go, what's actually going to happen. But
well, that's what I said. What's the level of expectation? What do we expect from this guy? Other than a bunch of money and Adley Rutschman and Gunnar Henderson and leave it alone or whatever.
I would expect him to have plans, right? Like, John Angelos got $600 million. Like, think about it, the Ravens got the $600 million from the state and just immediately spent $400 million of it, knew what they wanted to do, and now it's being built. Like, they are starting on it. They have the plans. John never got anywhere on any of that, right? John also demanded the development rights. He asked for $300 million extra dollars on top of the $600 million, but no one has ever seen even the inkling of a plan. There's not...
John demanded the Maryland Stadium Authority be disbanded, and the governor agreed to it.
Right. There's no back of... There's no back of, like, even just at the lunch table, like, let me draw you what I want to do. There's none of that. Like,
we're going to build a school. We're going to put a school in.
A school or medical, right? Like you, do you need a medical facility right near one of the top shock trauma centers in the world? Like, they probably
that you
didn't
see,
need...
During game days, you see helicopters flying and taking
I'm going
to
build a hotel. Oh, we already have one of those, right?
Right? Well, a failing hotel right across the street.
Well, this is where I would challenge you as a journalist and for what you're doing. I keep asking this question. Money, 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 first place, football, baseball. What's the idea? They already have a beautiful stadium. They have two.
Right.
I got urinated upon 2 days ago because somebody made us, we have the two greatest stadiums. I'm like, if they're that great, then why aren't people going? You got the best quarterback. You've got a team that's in first place. Tickets were $10 a couple of weeks ago. Tickets for the playoff game were under $100 because it was a little cold. They don't have those problems in Green Bay or Kansas City or Buffalo or anywhere else, right? Who's going to buy all these skyboxes? They're going to downsize the baseball stadium, right? The first thing you're going to do is cut 8,000 seats out of it.
Right.
What's going to make people go other than we're in first place because we're already in first place and they weren't going? And it's crime and this and pricing and that. Well, the prices are going to go up inside the perimeter where the hot dogs are warmer and the beer's colder. We heard all of that. What's the idea? And that's where a guy like Rubenstein, to me, the city planning and the stuff that we talk about, Baltimore, it's the same thing that applies to the Inner Harbor.
Right.
What's the idea? Right. Because water and a pier is what you got. Now, what are you going to put on it? Schaefer said we're going to put an aquarium and a science center and a mall and...
Right.
Okay.
Open public space.
We had a baseball team in a stadium and a football team in a stadium, and we're going to build a bar. We're going to make it better, and we're going to charge more. It's going to be glad, and we're going to bring bands in. Oh, man, we've been redoing Hammer Jacks. Give me an idea. What's the idea? Yeah. Give me a gateway arch. Give me cable cars. Give me an eye. I'm making that up, but give me something that brings people there, because moving the left field wall brings baseball fans down, and that's cool. Right. But I don't know that baseball is ever going to be non-denominational and everybody's going to love it the way they did when we were kids. You know, right. I don't think that's what they're going to sell. I don't think that is the big idea.
Yeah. I don't think there is a big idea yet.
Yeah.
And John most certainly did not have one, right? Like, his whole idea was work, live, play. Like, Camden Yards, when it was built, was lauded because it was already live, work, play. It was like, oh, this is in the city, and there's an apartment, and there's bars. And, like, we have live, work, play. That's so cool. And now, 30 years later, he's like, we should do live, work, play. No, John, it already exists. You just want to own the live, work, play. So now that that's all gone, right, John had no other money, right? That John,
he should have a column.
I should.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Just
John did not, you know, he had no other revenue source, right? And that was always the problem. And so his entire thought was, I need to find revenue for myself.
We saw everybody else doing it. Chicago, Boston, where they owned the perimeter, got like this, and it was just gifted, right? Fenway Group.
Some of it was. But he took Westmore to the Battery Atlanta, right? 80 acres of development. Do you know who bought that land? The Atlanta Braves. The Atlanta Braves didn't ask for it. They went and spent the money to buy the acreage. Like, and then they built the buildings. But he just never wanted to do that. He wanted to hold the leverage of the lease over the city and the state and everybody here and the fans, most of all, to get his money. And that was the biggest. So now David Rubenstein doesn't need that, right? He's got his own money.
That's the point.
That's the point. He's not. This isn't his livelihood. This isn't his business. This is his toy.
Right.
And
it's like his legacy in some way. Like, it's his. He's been asked to do things in Baltimore before and never done them. He's really like a Bethesda guy, right? Like, I think the Wall Street Journal is like, oh, he's a Baltimore, he's lifelong Baltimore. No.
He might move the team to Oh, there you have it. I'm sorry. That was the last DC guy. Sorry about that. I lived through that for 15 years, right? And when I talked to Larry Lucchino about real heroes involved with the Orioles, Edward Bennett Williams at any point could have pulled out his very, very large self and said, yeah, Baltimore will never be what DC is. What Ted just did, bumping the team, the district.
Right, right.
What a creep. You know, I mean, just what a creep to do. And I'm not even a Wizards fan. All 10 of the Wizards fans got screwed over, you know, as I see it. But for me, this the live, work, play, and I was old enough to remember this because I was one of those guys that wanted to live in Harbor Court for 20 years where Brady Anderson lived and all that, right? And I did, and I lost $250,000 doing it because it wasn't cool anymore, because the neighborhood wasn't cool anymore. Right. But the whole idea was, if you lived in Harbor Court, Camden Yards, when it came, was going to be a 365 place. You were going to take your wife there and have your romantic dinner on Valentine's night up in the Camden Club, pay too much for a steak and a lousy crab cake and a bottle of Cabernet, not as good as The Prisoner. And the Boog's Barbecue was supposed to be a 365. Like, Saturday and Sunday, with the ideas that Janet Marie Smith had and that Larry had, because Larry was, Eli was broke, and then Peter lied to him and said, you're the guy, and threw him out, right? You know, kneecapped him right away. All of that went away, and then the strike happened, then all of that went away, and then Peter owns the place and thinks he's God right away. So everything about the live, work, play and that area, everything the warehouse could have been. Dude, I did something unwittingly because of the Orioles playing in Arlington. Luke and I went down and the kids' table all that. During the day, Cowboys PR guys, a buddy of mine, right, gave us the tour of the Star.
Sure.
And the Star, they have a warehouse. Jerry built it. He built it over. It's rented at a high ticket, and like the guy told me, they signed deals and they can't put a camera out the window. Then if any employee puts a camera out the window, they're fired. They have all sorts of radar thing, whatever. But I saw that, and I'm like, They couldn't even get Camden Yard. They have a warehouse.
Yeah, the warehouse is mostly empty.
They had restaurants. They had Boog's Barbecue. They had the field to get. If your kids could come down there on Saturday and run around the field and get a Boog's in November in 1995, you would do it. You know what I mean? Like, it was a thing. Meanwhile, the minute Angelos bought the thing, he looked at every single thing as the enemy. Like, Pickle's Pub must have made him sick just to see. They're drinking my beer, my pregame, and this guy's making a fortune selling $5 beers across the street, and John Kant could never handle that, you know? It's a possession, I think, more than anything else. He wanted to possess stuff he didn't even know how to use, including the team, right?
Right. 100%. I mean, that's the story of John, is that he never really developed the expertise. I mean, he ran Masson. Masson is not good. I mean, right? Like, Masson is a horrible... I can't tell you how many times I was, like, watching games, and I'm working, and then I look up, and Masson has turned into, like, a guy sitting on a bench talking about fishing.
Yeah.
Like, how do you not have four former Orioles sitting there saying, like, man, that Adley Rutschman
is the best catcher I've seen. How do you get for the team without putting your spring training game? You have a network for baseball, and you don't put your spring training games on.
It's cheap.
Right.
That's the bottom line.
Yeah, yeah. Saving money.
So if I may, let's talk about the half full possibilities. What are the next steps to formalize the transfer of the team? The baseball meetings is the next step. That hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, I mean, they're talking this week.
They have to get approved.
Yeah, what we know is that, I mean, I don't think I'm sharing anything that you couldn't just discern by looking at how this has gone. Like, MLB doesn't want John in. MLB wants the guy who has $4 billion, right? Not the guy who's...
This putts.
Not the guy who's trying to, you know, extract things out of his city. They very clearly... I don't think there will be any problems getting David Rubenstein approved. I think that there will be some things. And the Masson deal is huge, right? This is an unprecedented deal. The fact that the Orioles own the Nationals' TV rights has prevented the Nationals from being sold for years now. I mean, it's a huge problem. But it's what Peter extracted, and Peter very pointedly extracted it for the Orioles. He didn't say, you know, he could have taken money. He could have said, well, you give me, Peter Angelos, $500 million, you know, whatever the money was, I don't know, and he could have taken that money. But he said, no, I want this for the Orioles. Like, he very clearly said that this needs to be a thing tied in perpetuity to the Orioles. That's an open question.
That's the only way we're going to be able to compete in the American League East, Chris.
That's correct.
You know that.
That's a perfect impersonation. And so now they need to determine what's going to happen there. Rubenstein is very close with a guy who owns a different TV network in D.C. and who everyone knows needs baseball. Like, his network... needs
the baseball. Former NBC Sports thing, whatever
right,
that is.
Right, monumental. Like, it is very clear that
this thing with Ted moving to Virginia feels really desperate to me. It feels filthy. It feels dirty. It feels like something that there are going to be some people who don't forgive him for this.
Is it official or is it a posturing thing? Is that thing absolutely happening?
I don't think it's been fully approved, but it's pretty far down the line. But I mean, this is what sports owners do. Like, they use these. Public good. I mean, these are public. Like, the Orioles mean as much to Baltimore as anything else, right? Like, as much as crab cakes.
As we sit here on the edge of, I'm sitting here watching Shannon Sharpe on a 50 degree day in Las Vegas at the Super Bowl and thinking they have a franchise. They have mean, it's all out there now. I'm saying Kroenke's already had a Super Bowl and getting another one in LA.
Right.
He screwed his state.
Right.
Yeah. He was a Missourian who moved the team, you know? So for that, I never believed the Orioles were leaving, right? I mean, like that, I thought the barrier to that. I think John would have liked to have sucked them up and moved them to Nashville and still been John and...
he's got a house there and his wife's got a business
there. Well, I think if he could have figured that out, he would have, but that would have taken some competence that he didn't have to flip a franchise or say, hey, I'll get out of the way, give me the Nashville expansion team and I'll bring you know, Tim McGraw and Garth Brooks in, or, you know, whatever right. his silly dream was.
Right.
But I never thought the Orioles were leaving Camden. I never thought anybody would allow that. But I also didn't think he would ever sign a lease. I mean, I thought he was going to be like the old man. I was just going to fight. And that's why when you text me, and they break the story 2 weeks ago, Baltimore Banner breaks the story, you're texting me. That's at that moment, I'm like, he quit? Like, that blow, his old man never would have quit.
That's because he didn't
his
get the
lease. His
old
man would be dead like Bernie and still fighting and saying, I'm not signing that. Because I watched it for 30
years. But that's the question, did he
sign?
Like, I mean, he signed it, but he didn't show up at the press conference. He essentially went dark, right? So they had a deal where he was going to get 99 years of development rights for $93 million. That's an insane deal. When you take into account inflation, and considering that the MSA was already making, what, $3 million a year from rent, from the warehouse, and he's going to get the warehouse and more land for less than $1 million a year. That is an incredible sweetheart deal. Bill Ferguson kills it and destroys
every part of the oversight. Just so
well.
Well, that was the key part. The key part was it's
they
my
take
land,
over
right?
The,
yeah.
And so that Bill Ferguson kills that, and John basically exited at that point. I think that John has been shopping the team and gouging prices and seeing who wants it for years. He's been talking to Rubenstein for 6 years, at least, maybe seven. Talked to many other people, got their prices. There were people who wanted to pay more than what the $1.75 million or $1.725 billion that it ended up going by. He was all, but I don't think he ever wanted to sell because he thought he would get this deal from Wes Moore. As soon as he did not get the deal, whatever that was, December 8th, I mean, John basically vacated. He was done. He was out. And nobody's really seen or heard from him. The people closest to John, when the sale happened, we heard about noon that day that the sale was probably happening. And we called everyone who should have known, and none of them knew. We were telling them, like, hey, this sale is probably happening. They're like, well, we don't know. Like, and John just got it done. You know, there was a meeting with his family that has been publicized that he, you know, at a farm up not far from here, Marathon Farm, where the family keeps their compound. And he just sort of decided to get out. He just had enough. He just moved on. And I really think it was because he did not get the bigger deal that he wanted.
Well, it could come at a better time. Just in a general sense for what the franchise needs done, what Major League Baseball needs done, what the city needs done. And I'll pay you the highest compliments is when you're breaking a story like that now and you're calling Mike Elias and saying, hey, Andy's calling Mike. Hey, do you know this? I don't know this. They're not saying, well, you're making that up.
Right.
You could be making that up.
No,
it's not reliable.
They were all like, yeah, that sounds about right.
The Zay Flowers thing, what was that? I mean, I woke up to that kind of sort of, and I have no reaction to it because it's a legal thing, and I don't want to play Chad Steele on the radio, but I have nothing to say on it until I really understand what it's about, because I know allegations and, you know, some girl calls the cop, says something happened. Maybe it did, maybe it did. I don't show me some evidence, but certainly from your perspective, it becomes the biggest story for a little while until we figure it out, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's an investigation, and I think what was odd about it was that it was reported to Baltimore County, and then she also reported it in Massachusetts. And that's sort of how it came on our radar, is that it was being looked at by multiple jurisdictions. We have no idea what, you know, there's no paper trail at this point that we can have access to just because of where, because it's still an investigation. So we don't know what happened. I mean, certainly the Ravens are probably going to be more careful about this than I think any other franchise in the NFL.
You think?
with good reason. I think that we saw...
It won't stop them from lying. Journalist to journalist, you know that.
Yes. I mean, that is always...
Period.
You brought up earlier the Ray Rice thing. You know, like, they finally welcomed Ray back. But, I mean, I think what a lot of people forget is that they knew full well what had happened with Ray, and they wanted to give him two games. You know, they knew, and it wasn't until the video
Ozzie
became public.
That. Ozzie always admitted, we know what he did.
Right, and they wanted to say it's going to be two games, and then the video became public. But that's the game, you know, like, Greg Hardy has done, Greg Hardy did awful things, but it wasn't on video. and so we got to come back to
Terrell Suggs allegedly did some awful
Suggs,
things.
I mean, you know this. You talk to Ravens people, and they that, you know, there are guys that were much worse people and were known that they football is a very violent game. It is a game that includes a lot of head trauma. It is a high pressure sport that leads to many players having mental illness and dealing with things that they find hard to deal with. This is well known in football circles, right? That these players are dealing with these things. They know who the dangers are and which players. I mean, they employ entire staffs that think about this.
Phil Savage said to Art Modell the night before the first draft, if you draft Lawrence Phillips, you're never going to have a good night of sleep.
Yeah.
That's what Phil Savage said to Art. And Art said, let's not draft him.
Right. And I remember...
Let's draft the Hall of Famer out of UCLA.
And I remember being pissed that they didn't take the running back. What do I know? That's why I'm a web guy.
Chris Gorman's here for the Baltimore Banner. Mike Rosenfeld's here. I feel like I'm with friends. I feel like I need a beer. Anything you want to wrap? I got to get you back to your office. Friday afternoon. I got other guests. Robbie's coming
by.
Yeah,
no, you need
I've
Robbie
been sitting
on.
Here. I'm like, sports, sports, sports. Oh, charity. We're doing the Cup of Super Bowl. But I am... tickled that we got knocked out of the Super Bowl and we have this other thing to talk about because I've been doing this for 32 years. And I'll be honest, I mean, Luke's done 15 Radio Rows with me over the years and all the back when I had more employees and all that stuff. I remember being on Radio Row 12 hours a day and never having any reason ever to talk about baseball.
About the O's?
Yeah. during the big game week. And instead, I haven't had to talk about Kansas City and San Francisco and Taylor Swift, although I love you, Tay. I'll see you at Hollywood Casino on Sunday night on my television. But baseball is on the tongue all week long. Rasig, Ron Cassie, those guys all came out, Luke on Wednesday. And it's more like, yeah, Zay Flowers may have, but are we going to, you know, tell me about the new owner. Right. And they're going to play a lot of games before the Ravens do anything, really. I mean, right. And the Ravens are going to be a player in free agents. They're going to draft 30th. How sexy can that be? You know, whatever.
They're pretty set.
I mean, Billick would always tell me, I'm not going to let some guy come back in a U-Haul, take all my coaches out the back door here. You don't say that. That's exactly what happened to John.
Yeah.
And it feels like he feels okay with it, right? But things are going to be kind of quiet unless, say, Flowers really punched his girlfriend or did something awful for the next couple of months. And it's going to be this sort of Sarasota. People have asked me, are you going to Sarasota? I'm like, well, he gets a press pass and I don't. So I don't, I don't really need the sunshine all that much. But there is a reason to be in Sarasota here. Yeah. And there is... Baseball is going to be on the tongue a week from now in a way that the Ravens are going to be, dare I say, below the fold.
Yeah. I mean, I was talking to Robbie about this. So Scott over here is the commissioner of the CRC Baseball
League. Are these your boys?
Yeah, yeah. They
look like they were your rooting team.
Yeah. So
they're not here for me. I mean, you know.
Well, they're here for you in part. But we run the Cockeysville.
I'm entertaining, you know.
We run the Cockeysville Baseball Little League, which, you know, this 3 years ago, and the program's small. You know, it's a shockingly small number of kids that want to come out and play baseball. We try to make it very accessible. That's our whole goal.
You have a house league? No?
Yeah.
You have enough kids for that. Yeah. Okay. All right.
But although, you know, our team, we have the U10 or whatever. We had one team in all of Cockeysville. I mean, this is, you know.
Who do they play?
We play
each
against other?
other rec councils.
Right. But it's a small league.
They all play lacrosse, let me guess.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But they're starting to pick up on the Orioles. 3 years ago, they couldn't have named a single Oriole. The kids would have just been like, I don't, you know.
Bill Cole's daughters don't know baseball because they just have never been interested.
But now they're starting to notice. Well, I mean, how could you not?
I have young adult children.
Yeah.
One of my biggest regrets is through elementary school, middle school, and high school. There was no baseball, which was our law growing up. I mean, I was probably more an Oriole fan than a Colt fan growing up. There was no interest to them. Once they went away to college, you see things percolating.
Right.
And my son, Sam, he's the one who broke the news to me when I texted you about the sale. He texted me yesterday. He's like, can we go to Sarasota?
Well, Sam's a Banner subscriber is what he is.
Can we go to Sarasota? That never would have happened. So for that, I'm grateful, even though the team hasn't been sold yet, but it's just through the way things are. And there's playoffs.
That was the last piece, too, right? Like, the players are there. It was always the question of, like, what is the ownership going to back it up? And now there's reason to believe they will.
And one went to Michigan and saw a national championship basketball team. The other went to Indiana, but both of them, their best memory, sports memory, including Super Bowls, was Delvin Young's double.
Yeah.
And being there right. and feeling that and feeling the energy of playoff baseball.
You know
baseball.
What that reminds me of? It reminds me of the morning after Christmas when Luke came on at 5 in the morning. We're doing morning radio on the December 26th. He's like, you better hope that's not the highlight of your season, beating the 49ers. You know what I mean? If Delvin Young's the highlight of your life as an Oriole fan, you haven't had a very good life. I mean, no offense to anybody that thinks, "Ooh, Delvin Young." It was a double in a division. I mean, come on, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like that's like being a San Diego Charger fan or something. You know
but
what
that's
I mean?
Their highlight. That
I understand
my point.
That. And yeah. my point was the highlight of the Ravens season was beating San Francisco in a consolation prize. I mean, that was the highlight of their year. Yeah. And that's not a good year. So I hope your kids have a highlight that includes David Rubenstein holding the trophy next to Cal Ripken and me being there like a reporter with a little banner hat on, like Richie Cunningham and writing stuff down. Tell me, I've done a lot of charity and community stuff here, and yeah, I've done some sports and whatnot. I don't want to call you a community effort, but you're a nonprofit, and
right.
you're different than Times Mirror was for me or AS Able when I was employed
right.
40 years ago. You're the next generation, everything I ever wanted to be. You're, you know, and you're in your Kyle was all I ever wanted to do was be a columnist and cover my teams and be there for the big game. You know what I mean?
Right.
And you guys have bootstrapped this thing together and you're trying to make it go. And I don't, how's it going? I don't know how it's going.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, look, we have the most tremendous startup fund in the history of nonprofit journalism.
I didn't know that to be
yeah,
true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, $50 million is a lot of money. But we are also going up against the sun, which has 200 years of a head start. It obviously has a new owner that has a ton of money. Nobody knows what he will do with that money and how he will use the sun.
And an interesting philosophy of reporting nothing that's true, which
yeah.
is really an interesting concept for a newspaper.
Yeah. So we, you know, certainly, but the building process has been, you know, it's the money only goes so far, right? We are well funded. We are able to hire incredibly talented people. But
how many do you have on your staff now? Plug your staff. Talk about.
I have 10. I think I have 10, and I'm about to post a job, a general assignment.
I'm
going to
need
job.
One after this.
Yeah,
so let me know.
So yeah, it's a tremendous staff. I mean, just do incredible work. But yeah, building something new. I mean, most people don't know what the banner is. I mean,
really?
It's we still are. You know, we go to market and we check, and it's like 35% of people in the Baltimore region know what the Baltimore banner is. So we need to raise that so that we can get more subscribers. You know,
the whole thing of the paywall is really, I mean, I own a company. I understand it. Believe me. I mean, I hustle for all of this, right?
Right.
I get it. But the paywall thing is still something that, like, I'm not prudish about it, but I never put a dollar. And I see headlines and I click and go to this site or newspaper sites.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, man, I don't. You're not getting me right now. You're not getting me ever.
Right.
I told you my son's story, right?
Yeah.
I did. I tried to cancel the son. They put me on hold for an hour and a half in the Philippines. And then the guy gets on a sales script.
They're doing that to a lot of people.
Like, and running me sideways to get rid of my credit card. Like, that's why I don't want to give you my credit card. You know what I mean? Like, literally, it's moved me from giving anybody anything.
Right.
But the paywall part of that is I don't know that's ever going to, like, be palatable to me, and I'm the first guy that wants the information bad enough and would give a buck or two if I had a level of trust in some way. Not that I don't trust you or the banner, but there are people hitting that wall every minute of every day. I've hit your wall and like say, all right, how deep am I going to go and where am I going to go? And then what's the next thing? And that's one thing for my company, a plug for my company is, I mean, I considered all that stuff 15 years ago, right? When the sun went to paywall, I'm like, that's where it's going. And would people really pay to listen to my morning show? No, they wouldn't. I wouldn't pay to read me. I mean, I think I'm good and great. And like, but if I hit a paywall with me, I'd be pissed at me.
Right.
So I don't know. That's not a banner problem. That's the ish
industry
of all of it, right? And then all the crap they're doing to journalists, right? Whether it's hiring Rock Kubako and because he's a journalist and turning him into not a journalist, or Jim Trotter or Mike Silver on the NFL side, my friends, or throwing people like me out and having people like you not even be able to ask them because you're afraid of getting thrown out. So, like, I don't know where the future is, but the paywall thing is daunting. And our society. I mean, literally, I think it's a American freedom information kind of thing where, like, all the really important stuff's the good stuff's behind a wall.
Right.
And we got Trump getting 70% of the vote in some of these states.
Sure. Yeah.
Can I piggyback on what you said?
Sure.
Because we've been talking for working together for years, and
he's a digital guy, by the way. Sure. So that's all he does.
Yeah, and I explained that I started my firm in 1995 with big eyes and like, oh, I remember saying before I started my business, if this internet thing is real, I want in, like as an entrepreneur, and thinking all the good stuff. And then shortly thereafter came some of the bad stuff. Right. And then, now, and as it relates to you, everyone's a journalist. Everyone can do a podcast.
Right.
Everyone can have a Twitter feed, an X feed with multiple followers. And I've seen it kill industries or technology. I have a buddy who's a photographer who now has to deal with people saying, I don't need a photographer anymore for my wedding.
Right.
They're going to take out their phones and they're going to do it themselves. So I do find it curious, while we've been talking about sports this whole time, just the business challenge of launching what you've launched, where you've solved one of them, which is you have funding. But as you know, that doesn't last forever.
I need you to survive, dude. Big time.
Man.
Especially now that the sun's falling into, you know, Putin's hands.
Right.
Like, I need you to survive. I just don't know what to do about it.
Yeah.
You know, I love what you do. I don't love the model. I'd say that to anybody. I mean, I would have said that to Ted.
So what's the pitch? What's the pitch to a local person who can get what they think is true for free? From you, how do you get over that hurdle?
Yeah, I mean, I think it involves a lot of different, our business growing, right, and having different price points. I think there's got to be a way for somebody in San Francisco who just wants to read one banner story to say, I'll give you $2 for that story or whatever, and not have to subscribe. You know, we need to differentiate our business model. But ultimately, I think for local people, it's that we're going to tell you what's going on in your community, that we're going to be trustworthy about it. You know, we have incredible, and look, journalism very rarely pays for journalism, right? The New Yorker does the best journalism in the world, but it's still got poems and crosswords and here's what show to go see off Broadway and funny stuff and TV reviews. Like,
I buy it for the comics.
Right. Journalism doesn't generally pay for journalism, right? So we need to offer other things. And we have, you know, our most read stuff, quite frankly, is restaurant stuff. I mean, that's what
Well, you're doing these surprise dinners and things.
We're doing, so we need to create a business that can attract people and give them what they want, but also have journalism be part of that. And we also, I mean, to your point, we are finding ways. So, you know, in libraries, the banner's free. To certain low-income areas, the banner is free. Baltimore City Schools, we have a deal with them. The banner is free to those
I need
students.
A lower income.
Is it all digital? I don't know the answer to that.
It is all digital, yes.
Okay, so when you say it's free at a library, it's a everything's digital.
Yeah, you can just get online and you'll have access.
I got Sherry here, and she's going to be fun from Layla's Gift. I got Robbie. We can do this anytime.
Yeah, anytime.
Come get a crab cake, all right?
All right, we'll do.
I would always say, well, we'll get together next time. Peter Angelos will still own the team. I've been saying that for 30 years. I hope when we get together that I am very drunk with that prisoner bottle of wine that I bought to unleash the prisoner. Thanks for coming by, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Two years I've been trying to get this guy on the air, and he shows up when I got a line out the door here. Charity people here, and thanks. Mike Roosevelt's going to stick around. Robbie Jr.'s here. We're going to get Sherry's up from Layla's Gift. At some point in the 4 o'clock hour, you're going to want to stick around. I'm going to cry. Andrew's laughing gas is going to be here, and they're definitely going to make – going to cry like a baby in the 4 o'clock hour. Mike Roosevelt is our chief digital officer. He's here. We're here on behalf of the Maryland Lottery. You already –
Yeah, I got one.
Your friends get tickets.
Hold
on, man. You got buddies. Yeah. I mean, one of these guys is going to win $10,000 and fix the little league over Cockeysville
for
you guys.
Right.
Our friends at Window Nation as well, 866-90-NATION and Jiffy Lube MultiCare. We're Pappas, a cup of Super Bowl, Crab Cake Row. I got so into sports, it's –